I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
D'Amico Ryan's met with the media following practice yesterday. The big news, Brevin Jordan suffered an injury that we'll learn more about here, I would imagine, over the next few days. Lower leg, it looked to be a leg injury. So we'll talk about that more as the show rolls on. But there was a practice yesterday. There was a game on Saturday, and D'Amico Ryan's was asked, hey, what did you see now that you've had a chance to go back and rewatch the Minnesota game?
One thing I liked is just the physicality, you know, starting up front. Like, I turned on the first snap of our offensive line, the way we were coming off the ball, all right, resetting the line of scrimmage, Yacht coming through, playing physical at that fullback position. I just liked the physicality that was shown. Of course, there's always room for improvement when it comes to technique and finishing some blocks and things at the second level, defense being on the same page, like finishing plays. But overall, I'm pleased with how the guys showed up. And it was just, you know, that's the first one. Now I tell guys that the first one really doesn't matter. It's how you show up on the next one and what type of improvements are you showing. So I'm really excited about this week. Like, let's crank the intensity up. We get to go against another team and let's see who have taken the lessons learned and can they apply them this week.
So two things that he mentioned there. One, the physicality, yes. When I went back to watch and just fact-checked myself on my impression that the offensive line was playing very physically, yeah, they were at the point of attack. They were moving guys backwards. They were changing the line of scrimmage. That was really good. I also agree with D'Amico on the finishing blocks at the second level. You know, Juice Scruggs did some good things at the line of scrimmage, but when it came to getting up on linebackers, he couldn't quite stay attached to guys. Jakob Johnson did some good things, but also I think can finish his blocks a little bit better. I mean, but he comes with an oomph. I'm excited about that. Hopefully some of this is just timing and all the rest of it. Ariante Ursary looked really, really good, but also still has some things he can clean up with his footwork, which is really encouraging because I don't expect him to be pristine 2.5 weeks into his NFL career with his footwork just yet. But that was all really good. Defensively, the defensive performance in that game was almost the opposite of what the concern was last year. Last year, they would play awesome 97% of the time, but then they let up a deep shot or a long run or whatever it might be. This was death by 1,000 paper cuts and just sustained drives down the field, some deeper shots, but really when you've got basically your entire first and second string defensive line wasn't out there other than Tim Settle and Darrell Taylor and a couple guys early on. It was a lot of guys fighting for position and the Texans playing zone defense. So without a ferocious pass rush, there's just a lot of guys, you know, in catching balls against zone, and I'm cool with that. I wasn't overly distraught by any of that.
I know that there's a ripple effect on the interior of the offensive line with the question I'm about to ask Seth, but I'm going to ask it anyways in general. Week one against the Rams, would you rather see a tackle combination of Ariante Ursary at left and Titus Howard at right, or Cam Robinson at left and Ariante Ursary at right, which would obviously mean Titus Howard bumps inside to right guard?
I...
That's a good defensive line. They've got Jared Verse, who you love.
Yeah, I feel more solid about right now with Cam Robinson because Ariante Irsu would still be out there. He'd just be at right tackle. I think I'd like Cam and Ariante and with Titus Howard at guard. The one real unknown thing is, okay, Cam Robinson has been a steady enough offensive tackle in his career. When he got traded last year to Minnesota, it was a rough fit for him, I think. It was a new scheme. He didn't put his best work out there. And he hasn't been impressive in camp so far when he's been healthy. But I went a couple years ago, I did this with George Fant. I thought George Fant looked awful in camp, and then he ended up as a veteran player coming out and playing. There are a lot of guys that when they can actually game plan for an opponent and they spend a week getting ready for an opponent, it's a whole different deal. So for now, as excited as I am about the upside of Ursary at left tackle, I think I'd like Ursary at right tackle, Cam Robinson at left, and Titus Howard at guard.
Yeah, Fant was all right. He was all right. I liked Fant. Yeah. Any other observations that you saw from Minnesota playing off?
I talked to Cecil Shorts on our Believe in Texans podcast. We do that on Mondays and Wednesdays. Yeah. And I really wanted to talk to him about the Cade Stover incompletion, where it looked at first blush like Davis Mills had overthrown Cade Stover. Going back and watching it, I'm like, all right, my caveman D-line brain feels like Cade might have been in the wrong spot on this or should have kept extending it. Cecil agrees. Cecil thinks that Cade was on the wrong landmark, that he should have been out on the numbers. So Davis threw to where he expected Cade Stover to show up, and Cade Stover is just still feeling his way out and wasn't in quite the right spot. So I give Davis Mills a pass on that. I think he probably threw exactly to where he should have. And Cade Stover, I still give a pass because these are some of the things he's got to refine. But I'll give him a pass for 2 more weeks, and then it's got to be like, no, get it right, rookie.
Yeah, you got to get it
rookie.
Right. Yeah.
I still think of him as a rookie.
Yeah, well, I mean, everybody's a rookie to this new system. You know, that's the other thing. And so that's. They're still internalizing that. I believe that was not Davis' fault for 2 reasons. 1, Cecil Shorts is smart. 2, that would have been very uncharacteristic for the type of camp that Davis Mills has had. He has not been missing guys. Like, he's been very accurate throughout this camp.
And if they had connected on that, you got to remember it was extra impressive by Davis because Blake Fisher at right tackle was losing his pass protection rep. Yeah. And if Davis had waited an eighth of a second longer to throw that, that might have been a strip sack.
Yeah.
Because that defensive end was coming around the corner and could have easily gotten Davis when he was going through his throw motion.
Nick Caley was in the booth for this game. Where will he be for the next game? Here's D'Amico Ryans.
For Caley, he wanted to call it up top. I think as a coordinator, you have to get your feel as a first-time caller. You get a good feel for doing it up top and also doing it on the field. So for him, I think the first one, he was up. Now this week we'll flip it. He'll be down this week. So this will use preseason for coaches as well, right, to go through the mechanics of how we operate on the sideline. But the communication was really, really great from the offensive and defensive perspective.
Okay. We know Bobby Slowick was a down-on-the-sideline guy. You and I kind of chopped this up last week, tried to predict, I think, what Caley would be. And obviously it's still a TBD. They haven't determined yet what he's going to be. What do you think? Do you think he ends up being a sideline guy or an up-in-the-booth guy?
I think he ends up being an up-in-the-booth guy.
Do you? Okay.
Was Josh McDaniels, is he a sideline guy or a booth guy?
Yeah, I think he was a sideline guy. I'm pretty sure.
And part of that is there's no right answer. It's just how you operate best. I don't know. It's hard. For me personally, I think I would like to be in the booth because you just see so much more.
I agree with you 1,000%.
It's the difference between being able to observe a battlefield if you're a general versus getting reports in a bunker.
Yep.
It's just different if you can observe the battlefield. That's at least how I approached it when I was a Roman emperor. And I like to see, I like to be able to see how all the legions were doing.
Yeah.
But I'm open. Whatever Caley thinks is right, then that's what he's going to do.
Gets messy down on the sideline sometimes. You know, in all honesty, some of it probably comes down to the trust that you have in your quarterback's coach and the other assistants who are getting with CJ and sitting down with him and looking at the iPad with him and whatnot. You know,
yeah, even with D'Amico, obviously D'Amico is the head coach, is going to be down there, but in him calling a game defensively, he's got to have some guys in the booth that he really trusts to be looking very specifically at what he would be looking at.
For sure. Speaking of CJ Stroud, Mike Sandoz, Seth, Mike Sandoz QB tiers article, one of my favorite articles of the year, dropped yesterday. And
I like it for the anonymous quotes more than the actual tiers, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I like both. You like the anonymous quotes. It's really good. I mean, Mike Sandoz is one of the kings of getting quotes from anonymous folks. And so this one is a combination. The panel for this one, Mike Sandoz, the 2025 QB tiers, complete with commentary from the panel of 50 voters who were granted anonymity to share candid evaluations. And again, it's tiers. So they're tier one, tier two, tier three, tier four, and tier five quarterbacks. Tier one are the elite, elite ones. Tier two is high-level starters. The panel is six GMs, six assistant GMs, six former GMs, five other executives, eight head coaches, and then 19 other coaches, including 15 coordinators. So it's a pretty good cross-section. Each voter placed the 34 veteran quarterbacks. Okay, so these are a couple teams. You know, they got Daniel Jones and Anthony Richardson on here from the Colts. You know, they've got Kenny Pickett and Joe Flacco on here from the Browns. None of the rookies are in here. So there's none of the rookie classes included in this exercise. It's five tiers, from the best, tier one, to the worst, tier five. Quarterbacks were then ranked by the average vote. So they're just putting them into tiers, and it's the average vote. The survey excludes rookies. Tier one, Patrick Mahomes and Joe Burrow are tied for the best quarterback in football, according to this. And then Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, and then Matthew Stafford, Seth, sneaks into tier one. Those are the five tier one quarterbacks, according to this group of 50 voters in the NFL. The first four, you cannot find a quarterback power ranking that has a different four. You can find different orders. But the top four in literally, I feel like, every quarterback ranking I've seen this offseason is some permutation of Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, and Joe Burrow. Stafford sneaks in at five with them on this exercise.
I'm cool with this. I think Stafford's the one that people are afraid to – they're afraid to just kind of pull the plug on him or acknowledge that age has started to take its toll.
Yeah.
A lot of these are done, you know, before we knew that his back might be as serious as it is. So that's got to be taken into consideration. Stafford, I think, right now, he's a lesser version of how people were looking at Aaron Rodgers last year, I think, because Stafford's still a very productive quarterback.
Yeah.
But last year, Rodgers, I think people were still giving him the benefit of the doubt, wanted to see what would happen, et cetera, et cetera. But it was almost like the last time you give grandpa the keys to the car, and then he ends up in a fountain somewhere, and you're like, all right, well, that's it. We can't. So he got bucked down on the tiers. Stafford, it wouldn't be as dramatic a fall, but I think he's still getting a little bit of the benefit of the doubt because of his incredible career.
Here's the definition of a tier two quarterback, according to this exercise. A tier two quarterback, and there's a reason I'm reading this, because as you can probably tell, this is the tier that CJ Stroud landed in. We'll tell you exactly where he landed momentarily, but this is the definition. A tier two quarterback can carry his team sometimes, but not as consistently. He can handle pure passing situations in doses and or possesses other dimensions that are special enough to elevate him above the tier three quarterbacks. In other words, he has a hole or two in his game. So here we go. Number six overall on this list, and the first in tier two, Jaden Daniels, who is kind of this year's CJ, he's this year's 2023 CJ Stroud, Jaden Daniels.
Yeah, and I think the consistency there was a little bit of a wave to his season where the offense kind of started to lag in the last third of the season or so, and then they did some good things to rebound from it, but. I think especially coming on the heels of Jaden Daniels breaking all of CJ Stroud's records, they're going to be hesitant to really crown him up there in that top tier until he does it for 2 years.
Got to do it 2 years. CJ learned that, man. Number seven on this list.
Okay.
And CJ's coming up in a second here, but this is just, you and I are on the same page. We're simpatico on this. These people need to stop taking these Justin Herbert drugs that they're taking. Number seven, name me the one memorable game that Justin Herbert has ever played in in the 5 years he's been in the NFL. The only games people remember with Justin Herbert are him blowing a 27-0 lead to 18th-ranked Trevor Lawrence a couple of years ago in the playoffs, and then getting his ass kicked by the Texans last year in the playoffs. Justin Herbert, man, arm talent can sure get you a long, long way in these polls with all these GMs and executives and coordinators.
Now, Sean, you know how I feel about this. I'm not going to change my take about him from before the playoff game, and then he played miserably against the Texans in the playoffs, was that he did a pretty good job of being a game manager plus last year.
During the season, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Like, he actually, it felt at times like, okay, Jim Harbaugh's doing everything he can to take all the pressure off of Justin Herbert, and yet he was smart with the football. He wouldn't put up huge numbers or anything, but if you look at expected points added or any of the more advanced stats, he was a pretty good quarterback. He was effective in the role that they asked him to play.
Yeah, no question about it. He was like 22 touchdowns and 3 interceptions. That's great. Like, Nick Foles did that with the Eagles several years ago, you know, where they just game managed the hell out of him. He threw 2 picks all year. But 7th. An offensive coordinator said this: a lot of people have him as an automatic tier one. I want him to take it. It seems like he's almost there, but he hasn't really done it. End quote.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm, and yet, I'm not as, even though CJ just went off in that Chargers game, I'm not put out by CJ being behind any of these quarterbacks simply because he simply didn't have a great year last year.
Yeah.
And there were reasons for that. It didn't make me doubt CJ Stroud in the long term at all, but I totally get when people are looking at these rankings. You've got CJ's full body of work is a really, really impressive rookie year, and then a year that everybody for the most part is giving a pass on for last year.
Jared Goff is 8th, and now here we get to CJ Stroud. This is interesting. He is tied for 9th with the reigning defending Super Bowl MVP Jalen Hurts, and I think it's what's interesting to me, and we'll get to the anonymous quotes here in just a second about CJ, and I'm happy with where he landed. Like, if you have any emotional investment in something like this, which, Seth, as you know, I do. It's a power ranking.
Do, yeah.
I'm happy with where CJ landed here. He's in the top 10. I feel like that's where he belongs. It's funny because I'm happy with this. I would imagine most Texan fans are cool with him landing tied for 9th among all quarterbacks in the NFL, especially considering the regression, at least statistically, last year. If there's Sean Pendergast's up in Philadelphia today that are emotionally attached to things like QB tiers in the NFL top 100, they are ready to run up to the Athletic offices and burn the place to the ground.
They're livid.
That Jalen Hurts is tied with CJ Stroud at 9th place and behind Jared Goff and Justin Herbert. And I would imagine Jaden Daniels, who he beat by 3 touchdowns in the NFC title game last year.
I think that Jalen Hurts is never probably going to get complete and total love or confirmation of status by a lot of people in the NFL because he's unconventional in the way that he operates. And it's not even the conventional dual threat quarterback type of thing, because that's always an issue too. It's that he's so unorthodox in just the way he looks and throws and even the way he runs as a quarterback that there's going to be a grudging acceptance of him. So I kind of empathize with Eagles fans that I think they're never, I don't think he's ever really going to get probably the appreciation they feel he should get.
And I have no idea if Jalen Hurts cares about this or not. He can just show everybody the ring he won last year and his Super Bowl MVP trophy.
You're never going to be able to figure out what his emotions are about anything.
No, that's a good,
he has the same facial expression whether a loved one just died or he just, you know, won the Super Bowl.
Really good point. What I was going to say was the other thing that penalizes Jalen Hurts is his GM is too good at his job.
Right.
The one criticism that I've seen with Jalen Hurts when these types of lists have come out and he just can't crack the top 6 or 7 and there's guys in front of him who he literally has beaten head to head in the last 12 months is that he doesn't need to carry his team. They got a defense that has a bunch of all pros on it. He's got great receivers, a good tight end. He's got the best offensive line in football. He's got Saquon Barkley, who was the offensive player of the year in the same backfield. He just doesn't need to do as much, which is that's a slippery slope. You know, Jalen Hurts has had games where he's had to carry the Eagles at times. But anyways, tied for 9th. You want to hit these anonymous quotes here, Seth? You want to hear what the people are saying about CJ Stroud?
All right, I'll rank them on a scale of idiot or genius.
Okay, I love this. Let's do this. All right, here's what they're saying about CJ Stroud. Tied for ninth in the Mike Sando QB tiers, firmly in the middle of tier two. One defensive coordinator said this, quote, "He got rattled because of the offensive line, and you saw that in his play. When I watched them, I felt like he felt the rush. Because of that, I still think the talent is in there," end quote.
I think that I agree with him.
That's accurate.
I would give him genius, especially in the fourth quarter of games. The Packers game and the Chiefs game are the ones that stick out in my mind as, man, by the fourth quarter, the stuff that was bad in pass protection and on the offense had really started to affect the clock in CJ's head and some of his decision making. And I think if you watch those games in their entirety, you can't really blame him. Because he just had no reason to trust the pass protection, and it kind of rattled the entire operation because of it.
Yeah.
So yes,
those three games: the Green Bay game, the Indianapolis game at home, and that Jets game on Thursday night. Which that was the time of year where I'm like, oh man, this just looks different than CJ's rookie year.
Yeah.
Next quote comes from another defensive coordinator. Said this quote: "Everybody wants to downgrade CJ Stroud. His number one wide receiver was out. The line didn't play great. The run game wasn't there like it should have been," end quote.
Yeah, genius, I guess. I got to stop giving this genius. Some of this is just plain folks' common sense.
Yeah.
I'll give him a Garrison Keillor on that.
I don't know who that
they,
is.
He's that old-time radio guy.
Oh,
told nice stories about the... Well, smart enough, but, you know, reading from a script. Everybody wants to downgrade that one. You know what? No, I give him idiot on that because obviously not everybody wants to downgrade CJ.
Right.
He ended up almost exactly where he was last year.
Yeah.
So I say this guy's an idiot because he misgauged how much everybody wants to downgrade CJ. People are very much in a holding pattern on CJ Stroud.
Yes.
This is the sense I get from everybody I talk to out at training camp, from the national reporters, from articles you read, anonymous quotes like this. Everybody is just in a holding pattern where they really like CJ Stroud, but the production was what the production was, so they're just waiting to see what happens
this
year. That
he consistently lands between 8 and 12 in all these rankings, and the league is sort of in a holding pattern on him,
yeah,
says a lot about the level of respect that he's getting right now, I think.
So we're going back to the old scale. That guy's an idiot.
Okay. That guy's an idiot.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe, without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
All right, here's an offensive coach said this about C.J. Stroud. Quote, I read an article. They said it's time for him to take the next step. What is the next step? It's time for his team to take the next step. He's pretty damn productive, end quote. Let me just say before you grade this, Seth, I love that this quote began with, I read an article. Like the guy
I read an article this offseason.
I hadn't heard of C.J. Stroud, but I did read an article about him, and you know this is what they said in the article.
No, they said it's time for him to take the next step. I disagree with this, and I, you know what? I don't like this guy's methodology on life. What the hell? What's an? Everybody's always got a next step. Everybody's always got a next step.
Yeah.
What kind of low standard son of a? What are you? Get off my football team, whoever you're coaching.
So idiot.
Because everybody's always got a next step. With C.J., I do think that there are times where, as almost every single young quarterback does who's made of the right kind of stuff in his first couple of years, sometimes a little too aggressive or a little too willing to hang on to the ball and try to attack downfield. CJ's got to find a little bit of a better distribution of knowing when it's okay, especially on first down, to take the easy money, and then when it's okay to extend the play.
Yep.
And he'll tell you himself. Like, CJ will give you a list of 7 things that he's probably working on. Of course there's a next step to take, idiot.
Right.
I agree about the other stuff. Yes, the team has to get better around him, but CJ's always going to have next steps to take. This guy's team is going to suck this year.
Dude, I read an article as the first part of that quote just tickled me. All right, a couple more.
That's what I tell my players every day in the meetings. You guys are all just fine, okay? We just go out and try to stay exactly the same, all right?
I read an article, and it said we're just fine, all right, a couple more here. These are anonymous coaches, voters, executives, GMs that voted in Mike Sando's QB tiers poll. Two voters compared C.J. Stroud to the Packers' Jordan Love. One of the voters said this, quote, very similar to Love in that some of the disguises, he'll hold the ball quite a bit, take some sacks, throw it into coverage at times. The decision-making can be average, end quote.
That's about as harsh as it gets when they say the decision-making can be average.
Yeah.
I guess I would have to put this guy, I think that's a frank and actually not all that harsh assessment.
I don't think it's unfair. I don't know if I totally agree, but I don't think it's unfair.
No, and I do. I think the part about the decision making, that's where it's hard to separate it from everything else going on around him.
Yep.
And I think because of the lack of precision elsewhere, I think it made it a lot harder for CJ to make the right decisions at times. There are times where I'll go back to that Packers game where, man, if CJ had held on to the ball a little longer, his third choice in the progression when they were down in the red zone at the end of the game would have been a John Metchie touchdown.
Yeah.
But the problem was CJ had gotten hit by unblocked pass rushers multiple times in that game, and I think it affected his decision making. So yeah, I'd say that with some excuses that I'll make for CJ, there was average decision making.
Yeah. So not a genius, but not an idiot. This guy, this particular coach,
the guy, the actual evaluator.
The quote. Yeah.
Well, I have to. I can only do one of two, so I'm going to get him put on brilliant.
The defensive coordinator who faced Stroud did raise concerns. So there's a defensive coordinator who voted in this that faced CJ Stroud, raised concerns over the quarterback's 86-yard game against the Green Bay Packers. Just to refresh, that was the first of the three games I just referred to. That was the first of the games where the pass protection was really bad, because they started the season, the Texans did, 5-1, if I'm not mistaken. So it looked, you know, there were a lot of good things going on the first 6 games, or at least decent things going on. And then that Packers game, that was the second game without Nico Collins. Anyways.
Well, you remember down at the end of the game, the one curious decision by Stroud was to throw that ball to Tank Dell.
Yeah.
On the sideline, which did nothing for them at all stop the clock.
Yeah, and they wanted to keep the clock moving because eventually
didn't give them a first down, didn't give it all the – even if Tank Dell had caught the ball, it would have stopped the clock.
Yeah.
That was – and remember, that was after they had stopped – there had been the two-minute timeout, and afterwards – one of the coaches said that there hadn't been a discussion with CJ about like the actual approach or strategy at that time. That was frustrating.
It was frustrating. And the Packers go down and get the ball. They win on a last-second field goal. This particular defensive coordinator who was concerned about that particular CJ Stroud game said, quote, he can carry the team. He is special in my eyes because he can throw from the pocket. He can throw off schedule. He's been really good with the game on the line. The one thing that would sway me to go to tier three for him, as opposed to tier two, was his performance at Green Bay. I wasn't crazy about the play calls at the end, but if he had won that game, he would be a solid two. He is a 2 to 3. So this guy, okay.
This is another coach I don't like. This is one game.
Allow me. If he had completed this one drive, then my overall overarching evaluation of his 2-year career so far flips an entire tier. Come on, man. Mm-hmm. Come on. You take that one drive, that one decision, and that affects your whole thing. So, yeah.
I feel like that might be the Packers defensive coordinator giving himself a pat on the back.
Maybe.
It was that one play where I basically turned him into the shell of a quarterback that he is.
Yeah. By the way, the other quarterbacks in this, in the AFC South, obviously Cam Ward's not in it. He's a rookie. Trevor Lawrence, 18th. The Colts might be sneaking into – they might be picking in the top five again this year. Daniel Jones, 30th. Anthony Richardson, 32nd.
I predict that Daniel Jones.
I want to read some Anthony Richardson quotes.
Oh, okay, good. I wanted to read the Trevor Lawrence ones. Read the Anthony Richardson ones. Those will be better.
Those might be more fun. Let's see here. Here's what the anonymous people are saying. they have a title quote at the beginning of the kind of the rundown of each of these guys, like in a bigger font. And the big title quote is, "I think it's a pipe dream right now." All right, here's what they're saying about Anthony. An exec said, "I think it's a pipe dream right now based on what I've seen to say he's a starter in the NFL. The accuracy isn't there. If you want to do college RPO type stuff, that's your guy. But some of the stuff last year was not starter quality." End quote. All right. I need something.
It's exactly what – if you don't – there's so few people that have actually watched many games in the AFC South. So they genuinely – anything positive they feel about Anthony Richardson is almost fueled entirely by highlights. I've seen nothing that's sustainable. I can't believe, honestly, that they haven't bailed on him already. It's amazing how bad he is.
Okay, that's the most vanilla. I just skim the other quotes in here. That's the most vanilla of the Anthony Richardson anonymous quotes. A head coach said, quote, "That's a tough one to overcome. If you can, more power to you."
Yeah.
I love that.
Trevor Lawrence one that I liked a lot was just flat out this, and I bet a lot of Texans fans feel this because we've seen Trevor Lawrence come in and do some scary things in kind of like in an Anthony Richardson like fashion. Boy, he'll throw some pretty balls. Boy, he'll lace it sometimes, and he kind of layers the ball and just does some really pretty things. But all in all, this one head coach says, "I thought he would be better, but he just isn't naturally accurate." And that's where I am with it. It's just some of the easy stuff that he screws up. And he's got that long motion where it just doesn't feel like there's nothing that feels like he's a naturally great thrower of the football.
Yep.
And I know they can. And then they blame injuries. But you know my stance on quarterback injuries. I don't accept them. I don't. Right. It's just that's what being a good NFL quarterback is a guy that it fights through injuries. And if it's affecting your play more often than just for smatterings of a part of a season here or there, I don't accept it as an excuse.
Yep.
Stop getting injured or play through them better.
Here's just a couple more on Anthony Richardson, just to circle back over. A defensive coach said they're not ready to say they effed up, but they are hedging.
Yeah.
The Colts. And then one voter said simply, "The Anthony Richardson experiment is over." Do you think it's over? Look, they started him in the first preseason game. I mean, they're clearly still trying to jam this square peg into a round hole.
I think they started him and were upset that the injury was just a finger because he gets injured every time they use him.
Yeah.
This is the problem. I saw a lot of people say, "Oh, it's just a dislocated finger. That happens all the time." You know what else happens all the time? Anthony Richardson leaving the game with an injury. And are you going to tell me that the guy who's got a 49% completion percentage isn't going to be affected by a dislocated finger if he did come back into the game?
Yep.
Open your eyes,
yes.
Sheeple.
Thank you. Did you say sheeple?
Yeah. One of my favorite indignant social when tryhards are angry at people on social.
It's pretty
media.
Good. Yeah. It's pretty good. Yeah. Text message 713-572-4610. A lot of texts rolling in on this topic. Is Justin Herbert our generation's Dan Marino? Great arm, but can't win with talented teams and good coaching.
Dan Marino won a lot. He just never won a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I don't think that's fair to Dan Marino. Dan Marino's a Hall of Fame quarterback. Justin Herbert is not. Yeah.
Dan Marino is in most people's top 10 quarterbacks of all time.
Yeah.
He just piled up crazy. I mean, Dan Marino piled up crazy, insane numbers, especially for the era that he was playing in. Like, his numbers, and he played in an era with a lot of good Hall of Fame quarterbacks. His numbers were space-age numbers for that time.
I feel like that's an incredible amount of shade to throw at Dan Marino at 7:34 in the morning by comparing him to Justin Herbert. I know what you're going for there, but no, I just don't know. Yeah. I don't like – nobody has ever once said that Justin Herbert is as good as Dan Marino.
No.
Or anywhere close.
No. Justin Herbert is the most overrated QB in the last 10 years. I'd have to go back and look. There's probably a couple that may be more over. He is overrated, in my opinion. I don't know where he stacks up in most overrated, but I think he is seventh is too high for Justin Herbert. He's played enough football now where his ranking can no longer be based on he's got a big arm and he's more mobile than you think he is. His ranking has to be, and that's part of his ranking, I get it, but he's played enough football games and had enough failure in his career where that's got to impact his ranking at this point.
And this is where, because I don't want to disrespect the listener. I think that, he was more comparing the situation than the player himself. I would say that I still reject the analogy just because Dan Marino was a Hall of Fame caliber quarterback who never had a great team around him. Yeah. I don't think the Chargers are held back any more by their team than by the quarterback himself. I think that he's not as impressive a quarterback as Dan Marino.
Yes.
Has he been held back by his team at times or the Chargers curse, I guess, whatever. But I don't think that, I also don't look at him as a guy that's been, shafted because of the situation he's in.
Text message, all those QBs above CJ have amazing teams around them. Mahomes looked terrible with pressure compared to CJ Stroud. I think that's an interesting point. Now, I'm not here to say CJ Stroud should be above Patrick Mahomes in a list like this.
Yeah.
Now or yet or however you want to put it. But it is fair to point out, like, the pressure you saw Mahomes under in the Super Bowl, that pressure percentage that he was under and looked horrible is the same percentage that CJ saw on a weekly basis throughout the regular season.
Yeah. No, and I think the biggest difference between Mahomes and that offense last year compared to the Texans was that the Chiefs, at the very least, were not wasting first down so routinely. The Texans were so bad on first down, especially when they tried to run the ball, that CJ ended up in so many in second and long and third and long situations, whereas the Chiefs were really good at getting to third and three. And yes. Mahomes, if he had to be, he wasn't going to be spectacular last year, but they were much more effective as an offense, partly just because they knew how to get first downs. News alert, Andy Reid's a better offensive coordinator than Bobby Slowick.
Go figure.
Controversial, I know, but I'm willing to say it.
That is a hot take right there.
Yes.
All right, Christian Javier had a nice solid start last night. I have a question. After one start, where is Javier on the, if the playoffs started tomorrow, starting pitcher power rankings for you? We will discuss that coming up next.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. You're talking about net jets during the break, Seth. What were you saying about net jets to me?
I was saying that I'd rather, if I were in the market for a private jet, I would totally be a net jets guy before I was.
Instead of owning one.
I'd never want to own my own jet. Well, net jets has a really good safety rating. And also just, I don't like signing contracts no matter what, even though I'd be signing a contract with NetJets,
yeah.
But it's a year by year thing. I'm not tied to something for the rest of my life.
Refresh my memory. Didn't you take flying lessons at one point?
I was a private pilot with a license.
You had a license?
And almost got my instrument rating. So then I quit.
So are you a backseat driver when you're on a plane? Like, do you walk up to the cockpit? Like, if you're sitting, you fly a lot, so you wind up in first class quite a bit. Do you like that?
Yeah.
Because it's easy. It's a short walk for you to just poke your head in the cockpit and go, I would turn here if I were you.
Yeah, at the end, I get off the plane, I'm like, hey, I probably should have used the flaps a little bit more on that landing there. That's all right. You'll be better next time.
You know, guys, so. I was looking at the map feature on the screen in front of me there, and we're going the wrong way. If we're trying to land in Houston, there's a shorter way that you can go right now.
Basically, I'm too absent-minded. I know that. You know that.
Yeah.
You really know that. And I decided I had too many fatal flaws. It was going to end in fire.
Yeah.
However, it ended with me being a private pilot. At least I wouldn't have a long and drawn-out death. But I didn't want it to necessarily be quite as soon as it inevitably would be I kept flying airplanes.
That is the way to go. I mean, you're going to know for about a minute and a half that it's going to end. But when it ends, it ends quickly. Yes.
Oh, and my God, does the FAA freak out when you decide to have a few beers while you're flying an airplane? I did. I did not do that.
No,
I did when I would mess around on my flight simulator. You get on a flight simulator and you try to operate with all the flying the pattern and listening to flight control, all that stuff. A couple beers, it'll affect your performance.
Yes.
Yeah. That's my advice to all the kids out there. Try not to drink when you're flying an airplane.
That's really good advice.
Yeah.
It is excellent advice. All right, question. Christian Javier, 5 innings pitched, 2 earned runs. He has now started one Major League Baseball game in the last 15 months or so. Here's Joe Espada before I ask the question to the audience. Let's see what Joe Espada thought of Christian Javier's performance last night.
That was really, really good performance. He looked strong. I think he pitched to some trouble there, and he had all his pitches working. Aside from the home run for breaking the first, I thought he was really, really good.
Yeah, I mean, literally. Seth, I can write that off to just nerves of being back out on the mound for the first time in 15 months in a big league game.
And getting comfortable, right? Yeah. And that's about as much as you could hope for, other than the storybook no hitter or something like that. That's about the way you'd want it to go if he's going to face adversity. Early on, when he's just still getting comfortable and ends up being really good after that, and he's pitching opposite of a Cy Young candidate who the Astros offense ends up running after the fifth inning. It was really, really good.
This is indicative, though, of just how slippery a slope and how thin things are with the Astros. It may be indicative of whether or not Dana Brown should have gone a little harder after some pitching at the deadline. Is that I think if the playoffs started tomorrow and you're playing, let's pretend you're playing in a best three out of, I guess best of three, whatever. You're playing in a playoff series, whether it's wild card, ALDS, whatever, where you need you need three pitchers, you know, to at least to, you know, get through the initial part of the series. I think it's Hunter Brown and Framber Valdez in some order, you know, maybe depending on matchups. But those are your top two, unquestionably. I think equally unquestionably right now, Christian Javier would be your third starter in a playoff series, and that is a scary proposition considering how little Major League Baseball pitching he's done over the last year and a half.
Yeah, my whole thought about the, hey, your trade deadline acquisitions for the pitchers are going to be the guys you got coming back from IL, kind of takes a hit when on the day that Christian Javier has his first start back that Josh Hader ends up with mysterious shoulder discomfort. Yeah. So that's on that side of it, at least there's a little, hopefully it really is just genuinely shoulder discomfort. Yeah. And it's something that he felt in his warm up and he's being careful about it. He's being a veteran and a pro and he's heading it off in the past. That's at the pass. That's what I'm hoping for right now.
I am too. How comfortable are you with Brian Abreu being your closer for this team?
I'm comfortable.
Yeah.
You say you think I'm not comfortable? I'm totally comfortable. Why would you suggest I'm not comfortable?
Well, no.
Everything about me is comfortable right this moment.
Like
it's so
that,
weird.
You're like
so that. Weird that you would, so weird that you would suggest I might be uncomfortable.
You're like that Martin Short character on SNL back in the day. Why do you ask me that? He's smoking. I forget the guy's name. I you know what?
He was the tobacco company, right?
That's what it was. Why
he was sweating.
Yeah.
sir, all these studies show that secondhand smoke. Yeah. Where are you getting that? I don't think I've been seeing that. That's not what our studies show.
That was you just now. And maybe the presence of Abreu makes me a little less uncomfortable about the news we got with Josh Hader. And if you're just now tuning in and you didn't stick with the Astros game till the ninth inning last night and watch this De Los Santos guy and Bennett Sousa bring the ship into the shore for the save situation.
And Yiner.
And Yiner is the catcher. Josh Hader did not pitch last night because he has shoulder discomfort. He showed up at the ballpark with shoulder discomfort. And I guess from a closer standpoint, I mean, Brian Abreu's not Josh Hader. Few people are, but he can close games and he's got closer stuff too, I think. The big thing I saw yesterday, or last night, Ryan Presley is out on the streets, Seth. Do you bring Ryan Presley, park him at the front of the car wash, and then hit the on button for the Astros pitcher car wash, and then run him through there with all that tire cleaner and rust proofing and whatever else?
I guess it's two parts of that question. I'm all for bringing him in. And, you know, run him through the Astros car wash. But you're not bringing him in as the closer. Per se,
not if you have Brian Abreu on the roster. No,
right,
but there's a ripple effect. You know, Brian Abreu is pitching the ninth. Now you need somebody to pitch the eighth. You know that.
Yeah,
there
was that always awkwardness of Ryan Presley still being on the team, but having been demoted, and you know he didn't make it a secret that he wasn't happy about it.
Yeah,
this feels like there would be a little bit of a reset on. That it might not feel as awkward, and it might just feel more like a seamless, like, hey, we're bringing everybody back into the fold, and Ryan Presley's just the latest
one. Well, look, he got DFA'd by the Cubs. If he's feeling awkward about not being the closer on the team, you don't sign him. I mean, if he's still that emotional about it.
I'd be really surprised if he did feel awkward.
Yeah, so I do too. I am too.
It feels, it might in some ways feel more, you might get the better version of him. Whatever he has left in the tank these days, because he's back in a comfortable environment and whatever awkwardness they may have been, I think that's just kind of thrown out the window.
Yeah.
So I'm all for bringing him back, but I don't only if he's genuinely cool with being a guy that might come in the seventh inning or the sixth inning.
Yeah, he's got to be for sure. Yeah, I would do it. I would definitely do it. And he's getting his money from the Cubs, so it's not going to be a salary issue. I'm guessing he comes in, it's the vet minimum for it. All right, Sean Pendergast, Seth Payne with you. For the love of God, text message, can we stop putting Hector Neris out there? Yeah. Another guy we brought back who I like having around.
But he's so much fun.
Amy and I are sitting there, and it's 7-2, and it's the seventh inning. And I say, you know, because Amy and I both have to get up early. We're like, okay, if they're still up 7-2 after this inning, we'll hightail it out of here. And then in comes Hector Neris. So doop-a-doop-a-doop-a-doop. Next thing you know, it's 7-6.
Hector
Neris, I guess we're still leaving. We were planning on going.
He's so damn likable. But then just the other likable thing about the Astros that you can only like when a team is winning is Jesus Sanchez and Jose Altuve on the base paths at the same time. Just such a recipe for a Benny Hill skit.
Oh my God. Are you, sir, ready to get petty in the next segment?
Oh yeah, I've been thinking about it all night. I barely slept last night.
Pettycast. Yeah. We got some good ones in here too, man.
I'm warmed up. I'm ready to go.
We got some good petties in here, man. So Pettycast, textures in. 713-572-4610. We'll do the Tuesday Pettycast. Hey, about an hour from now, James Palmer is going to join us. Formerly of CSN Houston and the NFL Network. Just big news with him career-wise yesterday with The Athletic that we'll get to. We'll get his thoughts on some of the camps that he's been to, stuff he's been watching around the NFL. We love catching up with James Palmer. We'll do that at 9 o'clock on the show today. Stay there.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.